When President Obama announced a framework for a deal to curb Iran's ability to build nuclear weapons, he specifically asked Congress to put politics aside to make progress on the issue. When Congress was poised to weigh in, Obama faced a choice. That choice was between two bad options for the president. He could stand on the sidelines while the Senate passed a bill meant to undermine negotiations with the theocracy over its nuclear infrastructure. It's a bill he promised to veto. Unfortunately for the president, he faced a growing majority in the chamber to override that veto, a majority that included his own party. On the other hand, President Obama could engage with Congress to ensure a bill came out of committee with the least amount of impact on the negotiation. The White House chose this route just before the bill passed the Foreign Relations Committee in a unanimous vote. Committee member Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, shed light on how the administration weighed its options.
You know, talked to the White House over the weekend that I thought that if these changes ended up being made, you know, there wasn't a credible threat that the negotiations were going to be undermined any longer.
What were those threats? Some members wanted a prolonged congressional response for the final U.S.-Iran deal. That time has now been reduced. Committee members also wanted amendments requiring Iran recognize the State of Israel or address compensation for former hostages of the regime, all of which were seen as disruptive to the negotiating process. But those amendments were voted down. The power to lift congressional sanctions, however, remains in the Senate's hands. The chairman of Foreign Relations, Bob Corker of Tennessee, and ranking member Ben Cardin of Maryland reportedly worked together to craft the agreement. Cardin replaced New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez, who was widely seen as hostile to the administration's efforts with Iran. But Menendez stepped down amid corruption charges filed by the Justice Department. Since the deal, Cardin has been hailed as a much-needed bridge between the two sides.
It's clear to me that there is a strong common commitment in the Congress of the United States and in the White House to make sure Iran never becomes a nuclear weapon state. That is our objective.
But not everybody agrees with Cardin's assessment. Hardline Republicans like Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton continued to slam the president's approach.
Well, we shouldn't have started down the path where we granted sanctions relief in exchange for Iran doing little more than coming to the table.
Cotton, along with 46 other Republicans, signed a letter sent to the Iranian leadership discouraging any agreement with the president. Senator Corker's signature was noticeably absent from the letter. And now it appears the chairman has bought Obama a little more time without interference from Congress. Illinois Senator Mark Kirk, one of the administration's strongest critics, conceded that the bill would have his support.
I think the Corker legislation is adequate, is the way to go, because that has congressional response times about 30 and 60 days, which is going to give more than enough time for the administration to work out the various problems with the Iranians.
While a deal to halt Iran from building nuclear weapons appears more achievable from Capitol Hill, there is still a rough road ahead. The negotiations between the parties have a deadline in June, and many of the details still stand in the way. Congress is expected to vote their compromise bill up or down as early as next week. Anthony J. Rivera, FSRN, Washington, D.C.